Only faintly phosphorescent plants illuminated the seascape. He rose to the surface for breath and looked at the faint, silvery underlining of the clouds. In a dismal, gloomy drizzle, the vegetation on the hulking metal mounds swished and swayed. Kipiru took 7 breaths, then descended again. Down below was where the battle would be settled. Phantoms swam through the open channels. A false echo seemed to present an opening directly to the north, the direction Kipiru had been trying to lead the chase. But on careful examination, he concluded it was an illusion. Another such fake passage earlier had fooled him, until at the last moment he had swerved away, too late to keep from slamming into the vine-covered verge of a metal mound. Battered, he had fought free of the tangle just in time to escape a ramming. Kathajan's giant muzzle missed him by inches. As he fled, Kipiru was struck by a grazing bolt from the laser rifle. It had seared a hot burn into his left side, hurting like bloody hell. Only his greater maneuverability had enabled him to escape that time, to find a refuge and ride out waves of pain. He could probably elude the pseudo-orca in time, but time was not on his side. Kathajan had dedicated himself to a ritual hunt and spared no thought for anything beyond it. He did not plan to return to civilization. All he had to do was to prevent Kipiru from reporting back and trust Ignacio Metz to protect his birthright back on Earth. Kipiru, though, had responsibilities, and Streaker wouldn't wait for him if she got a chance to flee. Still, he thought, am I really trying all that hard to get away? He frowned and shook his head. 2 hours ago, he had been almost sure he had lost Kathajan. Instead of making good his escape, he had turned around under some rationalization he couldn't even remember now, until he picked up the giant sound scent again. His enemy felt him, too. In moments, the hunt scream pealed forth, and the mutant was after him again. Why did I do that? An idea glimmered for a moment. The truth. But Kipiru thrust it aside. Kathajan was coming. He barely noticed the thrill of adrenaline that overcame the pain of his bruises and burns. The illusions vanished like an unraveling bank of fog, dissolving into constituent clicks and whispers. In a swirl of powerful fluke strokes, the giant entered the channel below Kipiru. The white countershading of the sport's belly showed against the gloom as Kathajan rose for air, then swam past Kipiru's niche, casting pulse beams of search sonar in front of him. Kipiru waited until the monster had passed, then rose to the surface himself. He blew softly 5 times, then sank without moving a fin. The monster was 10 meters away. Kipiru made no sound as Kathajan ascended and blew again. But as the Stenos descended, Kipiru aimed a tight burst of clicks to carom off 2 metal mounds across the channel. The semi-orca swerved quickly and dashed to Kipiru's left, passing almost beneath him, chasing the illusion. Like a diving missile, Kipiru dropped, nose first, toward his enemy. The hunter's senses were incredible. For all of Kipiru's unnatural quiet, Kathajan heard something behind him and swiveled like a dervish to come upright in the water, half-facing Kipiru. The angle was suddenly wrong for a ramming or raking. The laser rifle swung toward him, and the giant jaws, to abort and flee would invite a total blast. Kipiru had a sudden flash of memory. He remembered his tactics instructor at the academy lecturing about the benefits of surprise. It's the one unique weapon in our arsenal, as sentient earthlings, that others cannot duplicate. Kipiru accelerated and pulled up in front of Kathajan, coming belly to belly with the astonished creature. He grinned. Who can deny an attentive suitor? Let's dance. Kipiru's harness whined, and the three Waldo arms snapped out to grab Katha John's and lock them into place. The stunned ex-bosun screamed in rage and snapped his jaws at Kipiru, but he couldn't bend far enough. He tried to lash out with his massive flukes, but Kipiru's tail flexed back and forth with his adversaries in perfect rhythm. Kipiru felt an erection begin and encouraged it. In adolescent erotic play between young male dolphins, the dominant one usually took the male role. He prodded Katha John and elicited a howl of dismay. The giant writhed and shook. He bucked and kicked, then sped off in a random direction, filling the waters with his ululation. Kipiru held on tightly, knowing what Katha John's next tactic would be. The semi-orca sped slantwise toward a steep-sided metal mound. Kipiru held still until Katha John was just about to slam into the wall with him in between. Suddenly he arched and swung his weight to one side in a savage jerk. A giant he might be, but Katha John was no true orca. Kipiru weighed enough to swing them about just before the collision. Katha John's right flank hit the wall of rugged metal coral, and bloody streaks of blubber were left behind. Katha John swam on, shaking his head dizzily and leaving behind a bloody cloud. For the moment, the monster seemed to lose interest in anything except air as he rose to the surface and blew. "I'll be needing air very shortly," Kipiru realized. "But now's the time to strike." He tried to pull back to bring his short-range cutting torch into play. It was caught, locked into Katha John's harness rack. Kipiru tugged, but it wouldn't come loose. Katha John eyed him. "Your turn, little porp," he grinned. "You set me off there, but now all I have to do is keep you underwater. It will be interesting to listen to you beg for air." Kipiru wanted to curse, but he needed to save his strength. He struggled to force Katha John over onto his back so he could reach the surface a bare meter away, but the half-orca was ready and stopped his every move. "Think," Kipiru told himself. "I've got to think. If only I knew Kanik better. If only..." His lungs burned. Almost he gave vent to a primal distress call. He recalled the last time he had been tempted by primal. He replayed Toshio's voice, patron chiding, then patron soothing. He remembered his private vow to die before sinking to the animal level ever again. "Of course. I am an idiotic, overrated fish. Why didn't I think?" First, he sent a neural command jettisoning the torch. It was useless anyway. Then he set his harness arms in motion. Those who choose reversion's patterns need not space, nor a spacer's tools. With one claw, he seized the neural link in the side of Katha John's head. The monster's eyes widened, but before he could do a thing, Kipiru wrenched the plug free, making sure to cause the maximum amount of pain and damage. While his enemy screamed, he ripped the cable out of its housing, rendering the harness permanently useless. Katha John's harness arms, which had been pulsing under his, went dead. The tiny whine of the laser rifle was silenced. Katha John howled and thrashed. Kipiru gasped for breath as the mutant's bucking brought them both briefly out of the water in a great leap. They crashed back underwater as he transferred his grip on Katha John's harness. He held on with two Waldo arms. "Coochie coo," he crooned as he brought the other into play, ready to tear into his enemy. But in a writhing body twist, Katha John managed to fling him away. Kipiru sailed through the air to land with a great splash on the other side of a narrow mud bank. Puffing, they eyed each other across the tiny shoals. Then Katha John clapped his jaws and moved to find a way around the barrier. The chase was on again.
This ends side 2 of cassette 9.